Good morning. The verse on the screen is the verse that I was told to speak on today. There's a lot of stuff in these verses, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. Let's just pray together. Our Father, we come to you this morning in the quietness of this place. We thank you that we can meet here without anybody trying to stop us. But we know that Satan is very busy trying to stop people hearing the gospel. And we just pray if there's somebody here this morning who has never accepted Jesus as Savior, that today they will do that before they leave here. We ask for your blessing on our time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. So this is our text for the day, Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you've got a King James Bible, you'll notice it's a little bit different. The King James says, for he delivered us. And at the end of the verse, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. But I'd like to pick four things out of this verse today and talk about them in a little bit more detail. And the first one is, he rescued us. And the reason why I like the word rescued is because of what it implies. If you think about that, the word rescue, what does it mean to you? Dan reminded us of the story of those kids that got lost in the cave in the Far East last year. They were trapped completely in darkness, and they were absolutely unable to rescue themselves. Somebody who needs rescuing usually can't rescue themselves. They have to be rescued by somebody else. And God is in the rescuing business. This is his rescue plan that we have on the verse today. He's rescued us, those of us who are Christians, out of darkness into light. And we're going to talk about that. He's rescued us out of Satan's domain and brought us into Christ's domain. We're going to talk about that too. But God is in the rescuing business, and he's been in the rescuing business actually for 6,000 years, ever since Adam and Eve were here. And I want you to turn back. If you're not familiar with the Bible, you don't need to turn to it. You can just listen. But I'd like you to look at Genesis chapter 3, because right at the beginning of the world's history, God had to provide a rescue plan. Genesis chapter 3, you'll know the story in Genesis, how Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They listened to Satan. And because of that, sin was brought into the world. And God pronounced a curse on the snake, which was the vehicle by which the deceit was made. And Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Here's God's rescue plan for what Adam and Eve had done, that they had brought sin into the world, and there was absolutely no way that they could get out of it except with God's help. But he warns here that it's going to be a human being that was going to bruise Satan's head, and Satan was going to bruise Jesus's heel. I was thinking about this, you know, and I'm going to say something here. I want you to pay attention, because those of you who are Bible students, I need you to go home and look this up. God died. God, in the form of the Son, died on the cross. Satan does not die. He's going to spend all of eternity shut out from God's presence because of what he's done, but he actually never goes through death that I know of. If somebody can find a verse that says he does, I'd be interested to look at that. But to me, it's interesting that God himself died on the cross of Calvary, but Satan, the one that brought sin into the world, is not going to die, but he's going to be shut out of God's presence for eternity. His punishment is so severe, he's going to bear the punishment for what he has done forever and ever and ever. And so God had a plan when Adam and Eve sinned. God already had a plan in place that he was going to provide a way of salvation. Turn over to the next book, Exodus chapter 12, where we have another plan of escape to rescue his people. Exodus chapter 12. And verse 22, God talking to Moses. Let's read from verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You should take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel on the two doorposts. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in to your houses to smite you." God's plan of salvation, his rescue plan for his people Israel. We might think, well, Moses went back to rescue God's people from Egypt, from slavery, where they had been for years and years and years and years. They might say, "You think you're going to rescue us? Are you kidding? You're a guy that talks to bushes in the desert." But God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, gave him instructions, gave him specific instructions at this point on what he was supposed to do to rescue Israel from their bondage. And God has a plan, has had a plan all along on how to rescue us from bondage. And we're going to talk about that in a minute because we are under bondage. And so God's rescue plan was put into operation. The Israelites did what they were told. They painted the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lintel, and they escaped the avenging angel. Turn over to Daniel chapter 6. We have another rescue plan that God put into place. Remember this story? Daniel was put in the lion's den, and when he got in there, there was no way for him to get out. Not only was it a pit that he couldn't climb out of, it also had hungry lions in it. And so naturally speaking, Daniel was doomed. But God had a rescue plan, and God saved him. In verse 22 of Daniel 6, Daniel speaking to the king, he said, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime." And so they brought Daniel out of the pit. And at the end, verse 26, this is the king speaking now, who had had Daniel thrown into the den. He says, "I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." God delivers and rescues. And God has been doing that for 6,000 years. And he has a plan to rescue you and I. If you turn over to Acts chapter 12, we get a couple of New Testament verses about God's rescue plan. Acts chapter 12. Peter had been thrown in prison. The Lord miraculously brought him out of it. And in verse 11, Acts chapter 12, verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Peter was in jail. He was tied with chains. He was sleeping between soldiers. And there was no way that he could escape. He needed somebody to rescue him. And God himself came and rescued him and took him out. God's plan of rescue for Peter. And Peter went on to be a tremendous preacher of the gospel. Now turn to Romans chapter 5. We've just picked out a few people that were in dire straits and needed to be rescued, but man himself, you and I, have a serious problem. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 is talking about Adam here, for if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, did you notice that? Through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through the one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. That's God's plan of rescue for mankind. Because when Adam sinned, he passed his sinful nature on to all of his offspring, and they passed it down the line. And so 6,000 years later, when we're born, we are born with a sinful nature, and we are trapped, and we can't get out of it. And our verse on the screen says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness. We're all born into the domain of darkness, which is controlled by Satan. And you say, well, I didn't feel like I'm trapped in any satanic domain. The problem is, when we're born into the domain of Satan, we don't know we're in it. Now, some people do figure out that they're in serious trouble. People who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and other things sometimes reach the bottom and they realize that they need help. But those of us who have lived just a normal life and got an education and gone to college and got a good job and got a house and a family and all of that stuff, we don't think anything about that we are in the domain of Satan, because we were born into it. And it doesn't feel like it. We don't feel like we're trapped, but the Bible says we are. And we're in such a position that we cannot possibly get out ourselves. There is no way to do it. Isaiah wrote in his book that all our righteous acts are as filthy rags in God's sight. So every righteous thing we try to do, every good deed we try to do as a non-Christian, doesn't do any good. God does not accept it. So we can't work our way out of this domain of darkness. In Acts chapter 26, it says, rescuing you from the Gentiles, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Paul was given a commission by God himself. Paul became a Christian. He was a very religious man. He was the top of the chain. He was way up there in the Jewish religion, and he thought he had it all put together. And he thought his righteousness would be okay, until he met Jesus face to face, and then he realized that he didn't have anything at all. And he gave it all up and followed Jesus instead. And from that point on, he was living in a totally different relationship on earth than he had before. Even though he was religious, he was under the domain of Satan. But when he became a Christian, God took him out of that environment and put him into a Christian environment, the kingdom of God's Son. And Paul lived the rest of his life to preach the gospel and to show people that you're living under the domain of Satan. The Bible says in Corinthians, I think, that the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the gospel shine in. And so people don't think they need to be saved because they think they're okay, but that's Satan controlling the environment that you're in to make you think like you're all right. And God says, no, you're not, but your eyes have been blinded. And so people are going on in this world, living their lives without God, and yet not knowing that they are under the domain of darkness. Let me tell you a little bit what Satan's like. Jesus talked about him when he was talking to his disciples, and he called him a thief in John chapter 10. And he said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So people that sell their souls to the devil, as many have, particularly musicians, they find out that Satan takes everything away. They don't have anything at all. Interesting, isn't it? The thief or Satan comes only one purpose in mind, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan cannot possibly give you life. He can give you a fake happiness, but he can't give you eternal happiness. John was the Lord Jesus was talking to the Jews, and this is what he said to them: you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's the person that we're born under his power. And we can't get out of it, because he lies to us and he makes us think that everything is okay, when in fact it really isn't. And only Jesus can open your eyes. This is what Paul wrote in Ephesians: and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, that's people who are not Christians. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We were living our lives according to the prince of the power of the air. See, Satan controls everything. He took it away from man. Man was told to look after the earth, and man decided that he would listen to what Satan said, and he lost control. And Satan's had control ever since. And he's going to continue to have control until Jesus takes him out of the way. But that's what we're born under. And it's a pit that we can't get out of. Those of us, myself included, who were born into Christian families have a huge advantage over people that are not born into a Christian family, because we're protected from a lot of this stuff that Satan would like to get us into. We hear the Bible from day one. We hear our parents praying. We hear them reading the Bible. We go to church. We go to Bible conferences and all of that stuff, and we're protected, but we're still in the domain of darkness until we accept Jesus as our Savior. And the darkness is not obvious, like I said, as our minds have been blinded. We don't realize we're in it. But John wrote this in his gospel: the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. And that's still true. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So we've been born under the domain of Satan, under his power, in darkness, spiritual darkness. There are two kinds of darknesses: there's physical and there's spiritual. And unsaved people are in physical light, but they're in spiritual darkness. Those of us who are Christians are in physical light, and we're also in spiritual light. And so we belong, those of us who are Christians, belong to the Lord's kingdom. I just want to read a verse from John's Gospel, chapter 18. You don't need to turn to it. Jesus was being examined by Pilate. And Pilate said to him, I am not a Jew, am I? You are your own nation, and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. He's got a spiritual kingdom. And those of us who have become Christians belong to that spiritual kingdom. If you're not a Christian, you don't belong to that. You don't have the benefits of Christianity in your life. You're still in the kingdom of darkness. And so Jesus has a spiritual kingdom right now. It's going to become a physical one day. When we get to heaven to be with him, we're going to be in his physical kingdom, and everything will be perfect. Right now, it's not perfect. We have a measure of happiness in enjoying life, but all around us we feel, Let me ask you, do you feel evil's worse than it used to be? Yes, yes? It's unbelievable. The evil in the world is just, you can't really think about it. Corruption at the highest levels all the way down. Can you understand why the bottom of the stack are corrupt? Because the guys at the top are corrupt. And evil is spread throughout this world, and it's happened so fast. I can't believe the things that are allowed right now that were not even thought about when I was a kid. The world is sliding fast downhill into the pit of darkness, into the pit of hell. And the only way out of it is to allow God to save you and follow His plan of redemption. So we have then back in our verse on the screen, He rescued us, starts with the letter R. And towards the end of the verse, in whom we have redemption, there's the second R. We are rescued and we have redemption. The word rescue, I looked it up, and it basically means to draw alongside yourself. So if somebody falls down a cliff, somebody will rescue them by bringing them up and standing them beside them at the top of the cliff. But we have redemption. What is redemption? We were owned by Satan, and Jesus bought us back by shedding His blood on the cross. That's redemption. He bought us back to Himself so we belong to Him. And further on in the chapter, Colossians chapter 1, it talks about reconciliation. We are away from God. We didn't feel comfortable in God's presence, but God has reconciled us to Himself. So we have, He's rescued us, He's redeemed us, and He's reconciled us to Himself. We belong to God, those of us who have accepted Jesus as Savior. We're in His kingdom, and we have a relationship with Him that we're going to have for all eternity. Sometimes our relationship gets a little bit out of kilter. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable, maybe. Sometimes we don't feel like praying because of something we did. But the reconciliation has already happened. We belong to God because Jesus died on the cross. So our redemption then is because of what Jesus has done. In Galatians chapter 3, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We were under, now that Paul was talking there to Jewish Christians, but the law restricted people. And Paul was saying Christ has redeemed us from that. We're not under the Ten Commandments anymore as such. We don't have to do this and do that and do something else. We belong to Christ and we're free. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter, "You are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood." Only one person knew the answer. What's wrong? You all asleep? We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with precious blood. And whose precious blood is it? Jesus's. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross to wash away our sins so that He could buy us back and give us to God and become part of His kingdom. Ephesians 1 says this, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins or our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." God is a God of grace. He wants to bestow His grace on us. He doesn't just shower us with mercy, but He also gives us something as well. And that is a free home in heaven, eternal life with Him, freedom from our sins, and a relationship with God that we never had before. Romans 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through Him." We've all sinned. We all fell short of God's requirements. But because of His grace, we are redeemed. We sing that song quite often, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It." Remember that hymn? I sing that quite a lot. Those of us who are Christians, do you really love to proclaim the fact that you're redeemed? Are you happy in your redemption? Because I belong to Jesus? There's no peace and happiness like you get from being redeemed. Again, Colossians 1, 13 and 14 on the screen. For he rescued or delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'd like to back up now a little bit. I want to talk about some other verses about being rescued. In Galatians chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us. That's why Jesus went to the cross. I know it. If you think about that in an intellectual way, you can work your way around and say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that? I mean, really? You have to have faith. Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to. You say, you're never going to die? Well, physically, maybe I will. Spiritually, never. Jesus died so that I can have a permanent, full-time, forever and ever and ever relationship with God. And the only way you can get that is by accepting Jesus as Savior. And if you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, you are in the domain of darkness. Spiritual darkness that you cannot possibly get out of. If you died tonight, where would you go? Last week we were in Illinois at Joanne's younger sister's funeral. Some time ago, she lived in California with her husband and kids. Her young son made her a little chalkboard with a frame around it so that she could write notes and stuff. I don't know when he did that, but about 3 days before she died, when she was very weak, she couldn't walk, she quit drinking water, didn't eat. She took that little chalkboard and she wrote this on it. It is well with my soul. That's the last thing she wrote. And that chalkboard was right beside the coffin. She was on her way to heaven, she knew it. What about you? What happens if you suddenly came down with a disease like she did, liver disease, that took her life, and you knew you were going to die? Could you write that? It's okay with me. My soul's okay. Because I believed in Jesus. Challenging question, isn't it? And there are some people that go through life without even thinking about it. And they think because everything's cool and everything's going the way they want it to, that everything's going to be all right in the future. But the Bible says, no, not true. Because sin came into the world through one person's disobedience, the consequences of that have been passed on to every one of us. We're all going to spend eternity in the lake of fire unless we accept God's rescue plan, that Jesus died for me on the cross. And God has made it so terribly simple. If we all had to get PhDs in this, that, and the other to be able to understand God's plan, I, for one, would not be going to heaven. But God didn't make it that way. He made it very, very simple. Even a child can understand the gospel, that by putting their trust and faith in Jesus, they can have eternal life. If I gave you a little chalkboard right now, or a piece of paper and a pen, I say, can you write on it, it is well with my soul? I know most of you, yes, you could write that. But I wonder if you all could. I wonder if there's somebody here who said, nope, can't write that. You could if you accept Jesus as Savior. Here's another verse in 2 Timothy. At my first defense, this is Paul talking, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Can you say that? Listen to it again. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. I can say that because I trusted in Jesus as my Savior, and I know there are many, many, many here that can say the same thing. He's going to rescue me. He's going to bring me to his heavenly kingdom because I trusted in Jesus as my Savior and he took me from darkness to light. Peter was writing in his letter talking about Lot. Remember the story of Lot in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah? Peter said he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Do you identify with that? Lawless deeds of the world around us. I believe we're living in the same type of age as Lot lived in Sodom. Anything goes, anything's allowed. Whatever used to be called evil is now good. What used to be called good is now evil. Identify? Christians are not allowed to say anything about their faith because we might be bigoted. But anybody else who's not saved can say whatever they want and they get away with it. We're living in a very difficult time, and I'm very thankful for the protection that God has around me, that I have been preserved and rescued, and God's going to take me to heaven because I put my trust in Jesus. And so Peter goes on, he says that he rescued Lot from a very, very evil situation. And then he said, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Unrighteous people, those who have never accepted Jesus as Savior, are under judgment. There's a cloud hanging over their head that they can't see because they have been spiritually blinded. And they're reserved for punishment. And God says, I don't want you to go through that. I don't want to punish you. Adam sinned and brought sin into the world, but my son came down to pay for that. And if you trust him as Savior, you'll be saved for all eternity. David wrote in the Old Testament, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. You having difficulty in your life? Call on Jesus. Things not going as well as you'd hope, call on Jesus. If you die and you know that you're going to go to the lake of fire, you can stop that. God has a plan. God has a rescue plan. It's in place right now. It's operative. All you got to do is put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, and you will not go to the lake of fire. Well, I told you I was going to get done early, didn't I? I want you to remember a couple of things. Number one, God has a rescue plan in place. All you got to do is accept it. He's got redemption ready for you. All you got to do is to accept Jesus as Savior. You'll be transferred from the domain of darkness into the domain of light, where you'll understand more and more about God and what he has planned and the blessings that he has for your life. But you've got to take that first step. Just remember, the Bible says that you're born under the domain of darkness. And the only way to get out of it is to let God rescue you. And his plan is working right now. He's in the rescue business. And if there's somebody here that would like to become a Christian today, I want you to do it right now. You don't have to walk up the front. I don't want you to do that. But just where you sit in your heart, just tell God that you are a sinner. You may have only ever done one thing wrong in your life, but that makes you a sinner. And in fact, you don't have to do anything because you're born as a sinner. And the only solution is to accept Jesus as Savior. And you can do it right there in your seat, to accept Him, to believe that He died on Calvary's cross so that you could go to heaven. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to come back here again if you don't want to. But God will put something in your heart that's not there right now if you're not saved, and that is a desire to be with other Christians and to enjoy their fellowship. Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank You that You saw the desperate plight that man was in, and You designed a rescue plan that is foolproof, that by simply believing that Jesus came here, died on Calvary's cross, shed His blood to wash our sins away, we can have complete forgiveness and have a relationship with You that we never had before. And so we pray again, if there's somebody here who's still in that domain of darkness, even though they may not think they are, we pray that they would listen, that if they've never accepted Jesus, they are in Satan's domain. And the only way out is to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ask for Your blessing on this meeting. Ask for Your care as we separate. Take care of us for the rest of the day. And we pray for the gospel as it goes out all around the world, that there will be those today who trust Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.